say, be intentional.
Be intentional.
Say, be intentional.
Be intentional.
Okay, thank you. Being intentional. So bear with me because I had a message prepared that I took time with, but God is leading me in a different direction. So Ephesians 5:15, that's the scripture reference that we're going to use today on being intentional. It says, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Those who are wise. So what God has been speaking to me about is restoring relationships. Being intentional about restoring relationships. So he wants me to be very vulnerable today, so I'm going to do that. And so I'm going to talk to you about my personal experience just a little bit. I only have a few minutes, but I'm going to open up my heart to you, so hopefully you'll receive it. So the first relationship I had to restore was the relationship between my father and I. So some of you may know my mom raised four girls by herself. He was there, but not really, until I was a teenager. And so he was an alcoholic, and he didn't really make good decisions. Although he was a minister, he played professional baseball, but he did not do well as a father. But he was a good man. Inside his heart was pureness, I think. But all the distractions of the world took him down. He wasn't planted. So that caused me to have a lot of bitterness, anger, frustration. I didn't know how to relate to guys, men, and I was very angry. But God told me, when I was a teenager, restore that relationship. It didn't matter who was the adult. Didn't matter who, that he was the father. I was to restore the relationship. No, did he change his behavior? No, he did not. He did not. And when I went to say, I forgive you, Dad, he said, really? He knew he didn't deserve forgiveness. But I knew that that was the right thing to do. God spoke to me. And so when you talk about being intentional, you have to obey. Being intentional is about obedience and not about yourself. The second, it's also about the words you speak about people. It's not necessarily your actions. But so I forgave my dad, but the actions, but the words that I spoke was, he was an alcoholic, he died, and that's what he got. He got what he put out there. That was not God honoring. So if you think about your relationships, are your relationships God-honoring? Do they bring glory to God? And when I think about being intentional, I think about what God did. He made the heavens and earth. He thought, he said, we should make man in our image. He thought about that, and he created it. Not one of us have the same fingerprints. How much intention is that? That we don't, millions of people on the earth, and none of us are the same. We don't have the same mind. We don't have the same bodies. We don't have the same fingerprints. We don't have the same purpose all the time. Some may mirror each other, but we don't have the same purpose. God created us with intention for a specific reason. The second relationship, I'm going to have my husband come up here. While he's coming, I'll speak to you about another relationship, which was the relationship with my sisters. Because I had to step in as a parent, I didn't have a sisterly relationship with them. It was a parent relationship. And so as a result of that, I didn't have the, let's hang out, let's do this, let's girlfriends. It was like, don't tell Quita because she going to get mad or she going to say something to us. And I didn't want that kind of relationship. So I was intentional about setting aside time to go to lunch, setting aside time to call them and check on them and see how they're doing and not being just this authoritarian to them. So I was intentional about that relationship as well. So I only have a minute left. The last relationship that I was intentional about was the relationship with me and my husband. You might see us and say, oh, they're so cute, and I hear that all the time. You guys are so cute, but this took a lot of work. And it takes daily work to be intentional. To be intentional about when I didn't want to, and I told him I don't want to fix this, I don't like you, and I don't want to be in this relationship. But God said, yes, you are. Amen. It's for purpose. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than him. This is a relationship that is purposeful. It's for my children. It's for my grandchildren. It's for generations to come. So it's not necessarily, I ain't feeling you. I don't like you. You ain't, you know, on my level. I outgrew you. Because I hear that a lot. No. You be intentional and bring your partner with you. And so I just want to say in my last seconds that I know I made you feel like I didn't need you because I grew up independent, that independent girl from Compton, and I made him feel like I didn't need him, but I want you to know I do need you. And I'm grateful to have this journey. So.
All right, Minister Quita, thank you. Be intentional. Family, friends, relationships, be intentional. All right, coming up next, Pastor Brian.
In the 1600s in ancient feudal Japan, there did exist the samurai, which was an elite noble class of warriors. They followed a code called the Bushido, which was the way of the warrior. It was a code of honor, of discipline, of self-control, of loyalty, of intentionality. They lived with such a fierce, unrivaled intentionality. The word samurai, it literally means one who serves. Is that not a perfect description of a follower of Christ? Yes. Ephesians 5:15 says, live circumspectly. Don't be fools. Live wise. The samurai were so prudent. They were so circumspect about how they lived. They were highly educated. They were wise. In my opinion, they were the best because we still know about them. We still revere them for centuries and centuries to come. This was the 1600s. I think when we are intentional with how we live, we will be known as an elite noble class of citizens. We will be revered for centuries to come. We will be wise. Now, let me tell you about the ultimate samurai, Jesus. He said in John chapter 5, he only does what he sees the Father do. Is that not intentionality right there? Only doing what he sees the Father do. So we should be saying the same thing. Because Jesus accomplished his assignment, right? He did what he came to do. He defeated death. He conquered sin. He rescued us from eternal damnation. And I think that if we want to see the results that we're looking for from all the work that we're doing, all the laboring that we're doing, we have to be intentional. We really do. Every moment is precious. If you want an example of an intentional modern-day samurai, just look at Pastor Tony. This guy, right here. I mean, honestly, this month alone, if you think about it, Sunday morning teachings, he's doing that. Two services now, so he's doing it twice. Destined to Lead on Tuesdays. We do that, right? Then you guys are doing that. Destined for Purpose on Saturdays and Sundays. He's doing that too. I mean, he's still counseling all of us, Lord Jesus. Board meetings. He went out of state twice. He's about to leave for the Philippines, as he said, and on and on and on. My goodness. Why? Why though? Because he's intentional about the vision and the purpose that God put in his heart, and he is determined to see results. And as a result, I mean, look at all of us here today. Look at us. And look at me. I get to preach and carry a sword around. Shoot. So, again, Ephesians 5:15, it says to live carefully, not as fools, but wise. And how do we gain wisdom? Proverbs 9, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We must fear the Lord, you guys. Be wise. Don't be stupid, samurai. When we actually fear the Lord, when we take time, that's getting into the Word of God. That's studying that. My last point, I really want to leave you guys with this. Check this out. Hebrews 4:12 says this. The word of God is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, revealing the true intentions of the heart. If you want to become wise, if you want to know why you do what you do, let the word of God do some heart surgery on you and operate on you. Because it's a sword. It'll cut you open. It'll show you what's sinful. It'll give you wisdom to live intentionally with the utmost clarity. We need to be wise samurai. We need to get to a place where we no longer have questions to our answers, where there's no confusion about our convictions. If we're intentional, we will become like samurai. We'll become like Pastor Tony. We'll become like Jesus. Be intentional. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Be intentional. Be wise. Heart surgery, huh? Okay. All righty. Next we have coming up, Minister Tim Johnson.
God is awesome. God is great. And he's intentional. Lately in the world of social media and in the world, we hear a phrase a lot called being woke or stay woke. Everybody heard that a little bit? Now, traditionally, that phrase may, or more generationally, you may hear that phrase as being conscious. So being awake, being conscious, being aware of all of these things that are going on around us and the social ills and inequalities and this and that and not having the wool pulled over your eyes. And I looked up the word conscious, though, however, and one of the definitions for the word conscious is aware of and responding to one's surroundings awake. And another one that really stuck out to me, and it worked out perfectly because of our theme, and it says, of action or feeling, deliberate and intentional. Of action or feeling, deliberate and intentional, a conscious effort to walk properly. So if we are really woke, then that means we're conscious. And if we're conscious, we are intentional about the things that God has for us and for his kingdom. Ephesians 5:15 says, therefore, see that you walk carefully. This is in the Amplified. Therefore, see that you walk carefully, living life with honor. So are you awoke? Are you conscious that your walk is a walk of honor? Purpose and courage, shunning those who tolerate and enable evil. Now, I like the Message version because the Message, of course, if those of us have read it, it illustrates things in a language that's so much more clearer at times, everyday language. Don't waste your time on useless work, mere busy work, the barren pursuits of darkness. Expose these things for the sham they are. It's a scandal when people waste their lives on things they must do in darkness where no one will see. Rip the cover off of those frauds and see how attractive they look in the light of Christ. Wake up. Wake up from your sleep. Climb out of your coffins. Christ will show you the light. Christ has called us to be intentional. He's called us to be conscious and aware and awake. Jesus himself was intentional, and he gave us the example in John 4:34. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to completely finish his work. Jesus was intentional in John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus was also intentional in John 9. He said, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. Jesus was focused on the task that was set before him. He would not allow the Pharisees or the Sadducees to distract him from being intentional or to fulfill the purpose that God had for his life. He would not allow the disciples who were bickering and arguing, trying to figure out who was going to be the best, who was going to be sitting on the right hand of the side of the Father. But he was intentional and said, I'm not really worried about that. That's for God, the Father, to take care of. But my work right now is to do what God, the Father, has called for me to do. He wasn't concerned about Judas. Judas, he knew, was going to be the one who was going to betray Jesus and cause his demise, so to speak. But Jesus was focused on his goal. No matter what was going on around him, no matter what people had to say, no matter how they wanted to throw stones at him, no matter how they wanted to crucify him, Jesus was determined that he was going to fulfill the intentional purpose that God, the Father, had set for him. So I believe that we are to be in the same way that Christ was. Amen? In Luke chapter 4, Jesus began to fulfill. This is where we see where Jesus is laying out his purpose, him being conscious, him being awake of what the Father told him to do. Luke chapter 4 and verse 17 says, the scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free. See, when we are intentional on performing what God has called us to do, we will be more effective in the kingdom. We will be able to minister to those that are broken and are lost and that are bound, and so that they can know that God's power is still working. You can be free. That's the good news to the poor. He has sent us to proclaim that captives can be released and that the blind can see. So let's be intentional. Well, first of all, you can be woke. Okay, great. You can be conscious, but let's be intentional and complete the mission in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 All right. All right. Be aware, be awake, be focused, and be free. All right, Elder Joyce is up next. Woo! Amen.
Come on and bless the name of Jesus. Amen. Be intentional. I'm going to use the same scripture reference from Ephesians 5:15. This morning when you woke up, I'm sure there's some things that you did deliberately and you did on purpose. I'm sure when you woke up this morning, you purposely, hopefully purposely, took a shower, took a bath. Hopefully on purpose, you put some deodorant on and brush your teeth. Hopefully you did that on purpose and deliberately. And hopefully, deliberately, when you left out of the house this morning, before you stepped out, you made sure you had some clothes on, bless the name of Jesus, because you didn't want to walk outside misrepresenting yourself, amen? And so that's the same thing we have to do when it comes to our spiritual walk with the Lord. We man our physical body and we wake up early in the morning sometime when we go to the gym and we work out and we get our time in. So do we do that spiritually in the morning? Do we wake up early in the morning and do we work out spiritually before the Lord on our knees before we walk out the door? And so there has to be a balance between the two. Amen? So you say, Elder Joyce, how do I do that? How do I be on purpose and be intentional with the Lord? Well, first of all, you know how we like to take selfies? And we think and we know when we're looking good and we feel in some kind of way, we take all kind of selfies and we post them all up on Facebook. Well, it's that same thing we have to do spiritually. We have to look at ourselves and see how we're looking spiritually and be willing to acknowledge that there's something in me right now. Yeah, you know when it's something that you're doing that's not representing Christ. You know it. It's just like a drunk man. When you tell a drunk man he drunk, he already know he drunk. You don't need to tell him he drunk. So nobody needs to tell you where you're out of line with the word of God, because if the Spirit of God is in you, you already know. So we acknowledge it and we line up with the word of God. And then the next thing we do, we be willing to make some adjustments. In order for me to be intentional, in order for me to be intentional with fulfilling my purpose and living a spirit-filled, purpose-filled life, I got to make some adjustments into my life. What kind of adjustments do you need to make, Elder Joyce? I need to make sure that what I say I am lines up with who I say I am. If I profess to be a child of God, the way I live and the way I walk needs to line up with that. And so I have to make some adjustments to make sure that what I'm saying and who I profess to be is lining up. So when others look at me, they don't have to wonder if I'm a child of God. They know that I'm a child of God because I've made some adjustments in my life, because I'm not acting the same way. I'm not talking the same way. I'm not looking the same way. And the last thing we have to do is be willing to activate. We have to be willing to activate, mix the word and the spirit together. Hallelujah, bless the name of Jesus. Because if the word is in me, the Holy Ghost is in me, there is power in me. There is enabling power that allows me not only just to live out and walk out the word of God, but it enables me to have dunamis power in my life. It enables me to live a life full of purpose. And so I'm not just living life and I'm just not existing, but I'm walking in my purpose and I'm fulfilling my purpose. And I'm causing things to happen in my surroundings. I'm causing things to happen on this earth. And you know what? There's an inheritance that I have. Bless the name of Jesus. Bless God. I can walk in my inheritance. So you don't have to wait to die to get an inheritance. Because Jesus Christ already died for us to have our inheritance. So what is my inheritance? I can have life, joy, peace, and the Holy Ghost right now in the name of Jesus, because I know who I am and I know whose I am. So we have to be intentional. We have to do things on purpose. I have to wake up in the morning and I have to say to myself, I'm going to succeed today. I'm going to be in purpose. I'm not going to let nothing turn me around. I'm not going to let nothing discourage me. Nothing negative is going to come out of my mouth. I ain't going to look at nobody crazy today. I'm going to be intentional. I'm going to speak positive words today. I'm going to get rid of the bad stuff. I'm going to live in the good stuff. I'm going to live in the word of God. I'm going to be on purpose about it. I'm going to be on purpose. So when my light shines, I'm going to change the atmosphere. The atmosphere is not going to change me. Glory be the name of Jesus. I'm going to be in purpose. The word of God says us not to be drunk on wine, but be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to walk in purpose. I'm going to be intentional about it. I'm going to love you on purpose. Come on and give Jesus a hand praise. Give the Lord a hand praise. Bless him.
All right. All right. Be on purpose and be intentional. All righty. Coming up next and last is Elder Kelvin. Woo!
What Elder Joyce said. So we are talking about being intentional, and we're working with the verse in Ephesians 5. So just real quickly, I'm going to read it again. Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity. The most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. So if we're going to make the most of every opportunity, we're going to be wise, we're going to do what the Lord wants us to do, we have to be intentional about doing that. In Luke 10:38, we're going to have someone speak to us or hear from someone who can help us with being intentional. So let me read it real quickly. Luke 10:38. As Jesus and his disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come help me." But the Lord said to her, "Dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary, your sister, has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." So, Martha is concerned about many things, and Mary is focused. So, that very same verse, if I give it to you, Lavelle, can you give me the NRV version? Lavelle's like, what is that, NRV? Lavelle, don't do it, don't do it. There is no NRV version. That is my made-up new rude version. I'm going to give you the rude version of that. Because what happened was, the new rude version, that's fine. What happened was is that Martha was making all these preparations. Martha knew Jesus was coming, and she was being very intentional about getting things ready, getting the food ready, getting everything ready. Mary knew Jesus was coming, and she was being very intentional about hearing from the Lord, about hearing exactly what she needed to do to be able to please him, to follow him, to be intentional about being a godly woman. Now, both had good intentions. One's intentions were a little misguided. The others were on purpose. In the new rude version, when Martha came to Mary and said, you know what she did? You know, what are you doing sitting there, and I got all this work to do? And you know what Mary told her? You need to sit down, shut up, and listen. You need to sit down, shut up, and listen. That's the word to us. We need to sit down. We need to be quiet, shut up, shut it off, and listen. What that means is that Facebook, movies, TV, all those things that rob us of that opportunity that it talked about in Ephesians, sit down, shut up, shut it off, and listen. We've got to take time. We've got to be very intentional. When you're in your car, it doesn't always have to be bumping. Sometimes you can be learning and listening. You can be very intentional when you're on Facebook and you've been on there for 2 hours already. If you can stay on Facebook 2 hours, you can stay in the Word of God for one. Make it a ratio. We need to set up a system so it is a reward for us to spend time doing these things. It is our intentionality and our job to be in the Word of God and to be meditating on it. It says for us to meditate on the Word of God day and night. Then we will be able to do according to what is written in it. Then we will make our way prosperous. Then we will have good success. So when you leave here today, every time now you get on Facebook, every time you watch TV, every time you're cruising in your car and you're bumping, I want you to stop and think about, okay, this is how much time I'm doing with this. How much time have I spent in the things of the Lord? How much time have I spent praying and hearing from Him? Because Mary would tell you to sit down, shut up, and listen. That's what she did. And over here in Ephesians, you know, it says there that to do what the Lord wants you to do. It said to be very careful. Well, you won't know what the Lord wants you to do unless you spend time with Him. Imagine Jesus in your house and you're over on Facebook. Probably Martha was probably texting Mary like, Mary, you need to come back here and help me. And she's like, she just turned off the cell phone. So let's do the same thing. Let's sit down, shut up, and listen and go. Amen.
Amen. The one thing I love about the 5 on 5s on Sunday, too, is it's always, you guys always bring something very practical, straightforward. We walk out with some good nuggets. I really appreciate you. Amen. Can we give all of our speakers a hand again, please? Thank you, guys. Really love and appreciate you. Bow your heads, please. Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to hear from heaven, dear Lord God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. As it says in Isaiah 55:11, it will not return unto you void. It shall accomplish that which you please. It will prosper, Lord, where you send again. And today you've sent your word into our hearts, Father God. And as Pastor Brian said, dear Lord God, sometimes we need that heart surgery. So minister to us, Heavenly Father. Minister to us, Father God. I pray, Heavenly Father, our hearts are open. What went forth, Father God, we will receive it with meekness, Father God. We will mix it with faith. We will bring forth fruit, Lord, and my prayer is that fruit will remain and you will be pleased. In Jesus' name, amen.